Bonjour, everyone. Welcome to the Magpie Channel TV. The boys are back together.
Oi, oi, how are we doing?
The band is back together.
Ooh, fizzy.
First podcast in a long time, since COVID times, pretty much. Brings back the good old days, this.
Smells like 2019.
It does. It does. Just a little bit more success, hopefully, for you guys seeing it. But let me know in the comments how it's going, people. If you can hear us and see us all right. Obviously, we've got a lot to figure out with this podcast. First time we're setting it up. So the cameras are over there, the lighting and everything, we'll try our best to improve on it. But
episode
one of many, so let me know how it's going and if you just can hear us and see us all right. And as the weeks go on, every Tuesday live at 7 p.m. we will get things sorted out, so it's looking extra lovely and it'll improve week by week once we're aiming.
And also for those audio listeners out there, this will also be an audio podcast. We'll be down there on whatever you listen to, really. Apple Music, Spotify, all of that lovely stuff. So
all of that lovely stuff.
Yeah. So if you haven't got time to watch for tonight, get it on at work, when you're walking the dog, in the car,
In the gym.
We'll be there. And yeah.
Anything you want. So, well, there's a lot to get through tonight, isn't there? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Just a couple hours ago, the news about Trippier, which I'm sure everyone wants to talk about and hear about first. Obviously, Newcastle United rejecting a £13 million bid from Bayern for Trips. Going to talk more about transfer rumours. Who else could leave in the last 9 days of the window? Will Newcastle actually sign anybody?
Days,
not long left next Thursday.
Yeah, no. It seems to have flown by. Like even like in the rest of the Premier League, like not really much has happened. Like,
Spurs are the only ones after any business.
A really quiet January transfer window. When you said 9 days there, I was like, can it be?
Can it be? But it is.
It is.
There's not long left. And then we're going to obviously look ahead to Fulham as well. We do actually play a match this week, thankfully, after that winter break. FA Cup business. We'll talk about how important it is to have a cup run for the Toon this season. And then getting your questions for the end of the show. We're going to be running for about an hour. Mm-hmm. So get your questions in. I also put a thing out on Instagram last night. So we'll run through the best questions that we're putting on there. You can still put them in on there as well, by the way. That'll be on our story. And a quick one, white hats are back in stock, beaming with this light underneath me. White hats, get them now, not many left. Always been claiming them, wanting them, and they are ready. Head nice and warm there, is it?
It is, lovely and warm, and you need it this time. Yeah,
can it feel the storm?
Absolutely lifting.
Mm.
Yeah, they're flying out like hotcakes.
They are.
More stock. You got any stock in, have you?
Just got some fresh stock today. So they're on the magpiechannel.com
now. Get them while you can.
Get them while you can. There's not many left. Also, shout out to Blackfriars, who are kindly hosting us this evening, for this podcast. So shout out Blackfriars, great restaurant and bar on in Blackfriars there. St. James Park, not so far away. Lovely little area, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's weird.
A bit too posh for us.
It is a little bit too posh. I felt a bit intimidated when I came in. I feel like people were looking at us like, you don't belong here. I'm like, yeah, absolutely right, I don't.
Because everyone's wearing suits and spending £200. No, you can get nice beers here.
Yeah,
obviously, on a match day, you're nice and close to it. Wow, new order for a hat straight away on the watch there.
Who was it? Get in the comments.
Get in the comments. That was one of my figures up, anyways. It was Ogden, so thanks very much if they're watching. But Blackfriars, check them out. Brilliant restaurant and bar in Toon. And I'll definitely be coming more as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, as you can see is in the comments, let me just fly through what a few of you are saying at the very start, and then we'll get into tonight's topics, as I'm sure this hour will fly over.
An hour does fly when you get chatting.
Nathan was asking, is the old band back together? They are indeed.
It certainly is.
Certainly is.
Back, baby, take that.
It is back. Take that, is back. Kane and Dyer, maybe Trippier. Now, who knows, Trippier could be Jody Rick. He might be joining me one day now. There's more chance of Trippier.
Yeah, more chance of Trippier.
Signing for buying tonight. Nick's that same right, Matty. One credit for saying a week ago we wanted Morgan Gibbs White. We will be touching on Morgan Gibbs White's rumours as well in this video. Evening, Jackie. Good to see Aaron as well. He's always in there and he's liking
Aaron.
It.
Good to see you,
mate. Senor Kegs. He's Tony. Kegster. Pleased to see you back, Keg, and so am I.
Me too. Thank you very much.
Aaron, good to
see
you
back. Feels like it's been a long time. Like I say, it does smell like 2019 in here.
More like 1319. Medieval settings.
Yeah, I'm back though, baby. It is. It's very Henry VIII. I feel like I'm going to get my head chopped off any minute. Better be on your best behaviour.
Well, so the man, the myth, legend, war keg, Bongiorno, says David. My back beanie arrived this week, keeping his bonnet nice and toasty.
Nice.
Good purchase by Geordie Lou. Right then, there's nearly 250 people locked in, so please do subscribe and like if you haven't already. Keg, the only place to start is the news this afternoon of Newcastle rejecting that 15 million euro bid for Trippier from Bayern Munich. We've rejected it for a 33-year-old. Thoughts on that?
Interesting. They did supposedly say, like, I think it's kind of hard to believe, like, rumours and whatever you say on Twitter, but supposedly the club valued him at around about 11 to 12 million, which sounds mad cheap considering he's probably been the best right-back in the Premier League for the past two seasons. Mm. But as you mentioned, he's like 33 now. He was, what, 29, maybe 30? I think he was 30 when we signed him. And even then, most people, non-Newcastle fans, I will say, kind of already wrote him off. Oh, he's too old. Oh, he's not as good as he was then, but whatever. Like, which is wrong because he's literally a reigning La Liga champion. Mm. Starting at 11 for Simeone's Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
Regular in the England team, scored in the Euro semi-final. He's a class act, and he always has been, I think, for as long as he's been here. For me, he's the poster boy of the takeover. Like, as much as Bruno, and Bruno's probably the big star, along with, like, your Isaacs and Botman. But for me, I think Trippier has been the best, most consistent player, captain that we're really, really needed at a rough, rough period in Newcastle's time. Like, we're lacking a leader on the field, and he came in, and he was like an extra coach. He was like, it was like Howe, Tindall, and Trippier. Like, so 15 million euros, roughly around about 13 million pounds, a million more than what they estimated him as, a million more than what we paid for him two and a half years ago, 33 years old. So yeah, I'm a little bit surprised, to be honest. But yeah, I think we would value him more. But as this FFP thing goes on, which I'm sure we'll get into more over the next 9 days, we need to sell players.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, Trippier's form on the field has been a little bit lifting.
Shaky.
And it seems as if something's going on, like he withdrew from the last England squad for personal reasons. There was all these mad rumours online about what he gets up to with the Vermont. Who knows if that's true? Probably not.
Allegedly.
But I don't know. I think something's going on with him personally, mentally. I don't know what. So now might be a good time to cash in on him. Whatever's going on, if it is family related and he wants to flee the country, flee from Newcastle, I get it. But I don't know. It would just obviously be nice to keep him for that leadership, even if he steps down to the bench, lets Tino take over, which is bound to happen one day. I don't know. It's a tough one. It really is. I don't really know what to make of it. Obviously, I don't want to let him go. But if it is personal, if we are going to get more than what we're valued him for, and we need to for FFP, I think it makes sense. As much as I don't want to let him go, like, I'd be quite surprised if come 9 days' time he's still here. Mm. If Bayern want to come back with 15 million pounds, not 15 million euros, I can't see we're turning that down. We need to get rid of players.
See, the interesting thing is, obviously, Eels came out and said we're going to have to sell players. Yeah. Everyone panicked, thinking, oh my God, Bruno's away to PSG. Ajax going to Arsenal. But when you get an offer for someone who's 33,
yeah,
you've got Tino there, ready-made replacement. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that they've turned down 15 million. If it was, like you're saying, if it was more pounds, or, and I put a tweet out at the time a couple of hours ago saying if they get close at the 20 million mark, 20 million euros,
yeah,
17, I think anything between 16, 18 yeah. million, we would surely accept that. Now, with this offer buying they've made today, we'd be making a profit.
Well, these are very warm. Go and buy
doing
them.
Doing its job.
Buy them.
See, proof is in the pudding. Yeah. My hair's a mess, so I keep mine on, sweating. But like I say, when you're looking at that, you think, well, we could make a profit on Trippier. He's been here 2 years, you're making a 1 million profit.
Like,
not
I say,
much,
when
but...
he was 30, people wrote him off. Like, oh, he's past his best, he's not good enough, blah,
arguably,
blah, blah.
He's played his best football ever.
Yeah, and we're
going to
make
that.
A profit on him when he's 3 years older.
No.
Like, yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. Unfortunately, I'd hate to see him leave. Yeah. Like I say, he's been my favourite signing since the takeover. Everything that we needed in a player is a personality, like I say, that leader that were desperately lacking under Steve Bruce. Like, Lascelles was the captain, but he wasn't really starting 11 quality. Although he has come good now, I'm not going to split Lascelles. Like, but at the time, under Steve Bruce, he was shit. Mm-hmm. He really was shit.
We had
no other leaders. So, yeah, Trippier was just absolutely sensational. So, yeah, I don't want to see him go, but like I say, Tino's a ready-made replacement, and we might already have a backup on loan at Swansea.
Ashby.
We signed Harrison Ashby to be Trippier's replacement.
Yeah.
Maybe it didn't work out initially, so we've got Tino in. So we've got Tino, we've got Ashby, we've still got Kraft, who's decent. Manquillo's gone now, so we've got three decent right backs there. I don't know how old Ashby is. He's still like 19 or something.
Very
he's
young,
aye. Still a kid. So
very highly rated as well. Exactly. Got him from my stand.
So who knows? But yeah, it's something to consider, like you say, for FFP. Sometimes you don't want to let players go. Sometimes you have to let players go, and that's the key. Like, I'm sure nobody at Newcastle, fans, teammates, coaches, owners, they don't want to let him go, but maybe as well have to.
Honestly, like I said, I'm so surprised we've rejected this offer. I mean, like, because it came out yesterday, Sky Sports were reporting that Newcastle are after £12 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So they've offered,
12, yeah.
They've offered that. Yeah. You know, I mean, they've got 13 for him there, 50 million euros, 30 million British sterling pounds. So for them to turn that down, I'm honestly surprised. But the message that the Sky Sports are now putting out is that he's not for sale. He's not for sale. He's not going anywhere. Him and Wilson. Obviously, we'll get into Wilson soon. Let's focus on Trips for now.
Yeah.
But when they're saying he's not for sale, but the Bayern Munich obviously getting indications that it's worthy of putting a bid in.
They wouldn't
have went, oh, he's not, he just want it, not for sale, right, say that. It's just like the Harry Kane thing all over again.
Yeah.
But that one dragged out for so long. They were trying to lowball the offers. Not that I think this is a lowball offer, but I think they're testing the water, and I'd be very surprised if Munich didn't come back in with an offer for a few million euros more. And Trippier's there thinking, I'll have that move. And I don't blame him at all for wanting the move.
Yeah.
33 with a chance to go one of the biggest teams in the world.
But maybe it's for on the Toon side. Maybe they were testing the water and all. Maybe they were trying to call their bluff.
Mm.
Just say, like, look, we value him at 11 to 12 million. If you're going to come in with that, we'll consider it. They came in with 13, and now the offer's on the table. Maybe it's the backtrack and thought, nah. We want to see if you were going to put a bid in.
Aye.
And if it was, then well, maybe we've considered it. But now we have. We've thought about it. But now we don't want to let him go.
Because all the reports have been that Trippier wants the move. You had the mail putting out saying he was flying back from New York from it.
Yeah.
But he was already flying back, so that didn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but
whether them reports are true or not. Like, and again, I don't think it makes sense on like the family stuff. If it is personal, like he came back from Spain because his family wasn't happy over there. And again, I don't want to speculate, but if his family is in turmoil, maybe he's trying to get away from that and start a new life in Germany. He came back from Spain because his family wasn't happy. He wasn't happy. Like, that's why he wanted to come back, and specifically Northern, because he's like a Manchester lad. He wanted to be back in the North. He didn't want to be back in London. He wanted to be in the North of England. So Newcastle was like hand-picked for him. So why he would want to leave now, I don't know. It's just none of it really makes sense to me. I can't really make head and tail of it.
I think that the problem is if he is having family troubles and stuff, and I moved back from Spain because I said an Amazon doc that like his wife Charlotte wasn't happy and stuff like that, but she's not going to be happy now if the rumours are true. And to be fair, she'd go out to Germany and she's got some wags over there waiting for her anyway. You know, she's got Dyer and Kat Kane. Yeah, and they're very close apparently. So I don't know. Honestly, I'd be surprised if we do. I was just surprised that if we keep Trippier, but I'm very 50-50 on it now.
I think I will be. Like, I think 9 days' time, if Trippier's still here, I think I will be surprised. Like, because we've rejected 13, we've put our value out, they've came back with 1 million more than the value. I think if they come back with one more offer, I don't think we'll say no.
No.
And I think they do seem keen, and maybe he is keen as well, if you believe the reports. Like, if both parties are interested and we're willing to talk about 15 million UK pounds, Henry VIII's dollars, maybe he's, I think you'll go.
Shout out them for being a member there, saying hope we keep Trips and don't sell him. I don't think anybody wants to obviously lose Trippier because of how good he's been. Although
his form recently has stank.
If you see, it's absolutely stinking.
Form's temporary.
If you see on social media after it's saying, you know, we've rejected this money, everyone's saying, wow, I can't believe we've rejected that. Because it is a really decent offer for someone who's 34 this year.
Yeah, 34 and then lifting form. Yeah.
So, I mean, when you've got Tino ready-made replacement, who should be our right back for the next 10 years, hopefully, then it makes sense. You can use that money to go and get the midfielder that I desperately need. Because it's not just, I see Chris and a lot of other people saying there, you know, a 15 million in the grand scheme of thing isn't much, but at the same time, it's a lot of your wage books. Trippier is one of our highest earners.
True, I don't know how FFP really works. I haven't looked into it, and quite honest, I couldn't give a shit. Like, it's way over my head, way over my pay grade, which is zero. But the way that I see it is, we had to sell some Maximin to get Harvey Barnes. We sold Maxi for roughly around about 20 million. Barnes cost more than that. Barnes was, what was he, closer to 30?
Bonds was 34 million or something.
Yeah. And then on top of that, we spent 20-odd million on Tino. And I know it's a fee to be agreed, but Lewis Hall came in after that as well. So we sold Maxi for 20, and then we were able to go and spend nearly 60 on Tino and Harvey Barnes.
Yeah.
So it does add up like that. I don't know if it has got wages to do with it or whatever, but every little helps. Like if you do sell Trippier for 15 million, it might turn around to the point where you can then spend 30, 40, maybe even 50. I don't know how it works. We'll get on to Wilson and Almiron shortly, I'm sure. But yeah, sometimes you have to sell to get back. Like that's the way that it works. And
just putting a story out there, let people know we're live as well. There is nearly 400 watching, so do like and subscribe. But let's round things off on Trippier then. So 15 million euros rejected. I'm going to say that I think Leo will come back in with another bid. I think he will leave. I'll put my
I think he's good enough. Like, even like people talk about ages. I don't really believe in you're too old. I think if you're good enough, you're good enough. Like,
yeah, he's proved that though.
Like, everyone wrote like Ibrahimovic off when he went to Man United and he was like 36 or something, but he was like, he scored like 24 goals or something in his first season in the Premier League. Like, exactly. So, yeah, I don't necessarily believe in age. I think if you're good enough, you're good enough. Kane's like 30. I think he's just turned 30, isn't he? And they spent like, what, £100 million on him?
Exactly.
So Trippier is arguably one of the best right-backs in the world, not just in the Premier League. He's coming up 34. But if you're going to get him for like 17, 20 million euros for someone who's that good, Bayern don't give a shit. Bayern's used to having old players. Like, Robin played until he was about 90.
Thomas Müller's 52. how many years has that pool been gone for? Seriously.
The other one, Ribery. Everyone's just absolutely dying. Like, Zimmer from City and Bayern Munich. So they're not asked about signing a 34-year-old. You know what I mean?
Talk about us being everyone seeing our boys back together, bam, back together. Cheers, people. Thomas Tuchel's trying to get the three lines back together. You know what I mean? He's getting the English Revolution out there. Like, Kane, Dyer. Now he's getting Trippier.
Oh yeah,
Jared, you got Gnabry.
I was trying to think like which Dyer, Kieran. Kieran's
young. Kieran Dyer, aren't they? They'd probably take him.
Yeah,
about his old Thomas Müller.
Eric Dyer. Yeah.
Let's see. But it looks like Bayern are obviously very interested in Kieran Trippier, and are not going to give up the pursuit of him with Newcastle. Well, they're saying that they don't want to sell him, but Trippier's open to the move. Will that bit more extra money talk?
Mm-hmm.
Other one that's been massively linked to leave in Newcastle this window, this has really picked up in the last 24 hours or so, is Miggy Almiron to Saudi Arabia. Apparently, we are holding out for £30 million for Almiron. Al-Shabaab are linked to be putting in around £20 million. Again, I don't think Miggy's that keen on the move. At first, I think he was thinking all money, but now it's coming out that he would rather stay in Newcastle.
Happy, yeah.
Whereas this one, though, the club have came out and said Trippier and Wilson are not for sale. Talk about Wilson shortly. But they have not said that Almiron is not for sale. They are willing to listen to offers because, unlike the Trippier and Wilson stuff, where he's aging and they can't get much money for them, Almiron, if we can get 30 million for him, and let's remember, Almiron's an East Spring chicken. He may look 13 years old,
he looks like he's still in high school.
30 this year.
Yeah.
Almiron's 30 years old, this year. So if you can get, honestly, 25, 30 million for him, see you later.
And let's be honest, he had a decent goal scoring year last year, but his quality, he does my head in. He really, really, really frustrates me. Like, he's a solid team player, and that's why everyone, if anyone does still like him out there, that's probably why. He's a grafter. He gets back. He does these defensive duties quietly, but does it well. Like, absolute grafter. Puts in a shift. Loads of energy. Loads of effort. Cannot fault the kid. Always smiling. Kid. He's 30.
the youngest looking 30-year-old ever.
He is shit.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's just not good enough consistently.
Is a right winger, it really just frustrates me that he can't use his right foot. No. I know the purpose of him being out there is so he can cut in, but he's just so one-dimensional. It's ridiculous. It really, really, really frustrates me. he must, apart from his pace, he must just be a dream. If you're a left back, you just know what he's going to do.
No.
You just show him down the right. Because he's not going to use his right foot. He's not going to attempt a cross. He's going to wait for Trippier.
Yeah.
Or Bruno's going to come short. So that's the only thing he can do if you show him down the right. Because he cannot do not with that right foot. If you allow him to come in on his left, then he might be able to do something. He's quick.
Works hard, doesn't he? Workhorse. I'd be working hard now.
Yeah, and he just really hasn't got enough end products. Like, he had a flurry last season. Like, I think he only scored like two goals at in the last half of last season.
He had that spell where he got like 8 and 11 games or something.
I think between like October and December, he scored like 8 goals or something.
Loves Halloween.
Yeah, but that was it. Like, in he's been here for like 4 years. Had like a 2-month flurry where he couldn't stop scoring.
One goal that's the season before that now. That screamer against Palace. You see his highlights. These stories have been watching his highlights. Eels has just sent him a highlight reel of Mickey's goals.
Look how good he is.
30 million for this. Won that straight.
Paraguayan Messi.
We've got Fulham on the weekend. We'll talk about that soon. His goal at Craven Cottage. That's unbelievable on the volley. Some of the stuff he's done goal-wise has been sensational.
Yeah.
And then he kind of score with his right foot on the line 2 yards out against AC Milan in the Champions League and we got knocked out. Mm-hmm. So I haven't forgiven for that. But I, with Miggy, I'm joking to say, do love his work rate, his passion, his desire, but he isn't consistent enough with producing the goods. He hasn't really got those assists. He hasn't got the goals. Without that paper patch for a winger, Paraguayan Anthony, do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's not enough there. There's run, smile. That's it. Do you know what I mean? Like I said last season, it worked really well, the triangles. But everyone's clicked onto that this year. We're being found out with the Trippier overlap, the Bruno triangle, the overhead pass. Everyone knows what we're going to do now.
For the last two summers, I've really, really, really wanted a right winger, like a proper actual one that can use both feet.
We were crying out for Diaby for
years. Diaby was my number one target. That's literally what I was just about to say. Moussa Diaby was my number one target. Broke my heart a little bit because he's left-footed naturally as well, I think, isn't he? But he can play on the right foot. He can play on the right wing and do whatever he wants. That's fine. It's normal these days to have an opposite foot out on the opposite flank. But as long as he can use both feet, being just so one-dimensional is just embarrassing in this day and age. I don't get how you can be a professional footballer and do that.
I don't get how Eddie Howe and the rest of the coaching team have improved Joe Linton and Murphy and everyone else, but they can't improve his right foot. Are we not just spending all day in training just saying, Miggy, just keep taking shots with your foot?
So they've improved him as a
8
player.
8 hours a day, 9 to 5. That's how you want to be. They've improved him as,
As a player.
But end product, you think, like...
There's only one player in history who's been a frustrating player with one foot, but it's okay because his one foot was better than most people's, and that was Roberto Carlos.
All right.
Roberto Carlos, even when he dribbled, he only used his left foot. Like, if he could wear white boots, he'd come off the field when his right boot would be squeaky clean. It's like fresh, that right boot. But what he could do with that left foot, he could bend it, swerve it, whatever you could want. That left foot was magical. Mickey, your left foot ain't that good. You ain't got no Roberto Carlos left foot.
Magic.
There's absolutely no magic in that. So, for me, Miggy Almiron, like I say, he's a grafter, he's a hard worker, he's a team player. So, I'd love to keep him in the squad. Like, if he was a backup right winger or like just an option off the bench, I wouldn't be mad at that. But we would need to sign somebody. And to be able to sign somebody, going back to FFP, we need to sell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So if Miggy's got a... I'd rather sell Miggy than Wilson or Trippier or anyone else.
Me too.
Anyone
me
else too. For that matter. Bruno, Botman, like anyone like that.
Yeah.
Miggy's the kind of... In the starting of 11, when everyone's fit and healthy, for me, Miggy's the odd one out.
Yeah,
maybe for me is the worst down the field.
Oh, absolutely, aye. Because what I would say is that I would sell all three in the summer, maybe when you've got that time to replace them. You've got that time to bed.
January's hard.
January, we've got 9 days left. Like what? Yeah. Obviously, you would hope that the club would have
something in the pipeline. Yeah.
I don't think we'd let, especially Wilson, go. Trippier, you let go. Got Tino Kraft there.
Yeah.
Miggy, you could let go because you could play Gordon on the right, Barnes is due back soon, he could play on the left.
Yeah,
Murphy's due back, he could play on the right. Wilson's the one where if you sold him, and then Isaac gets injured,
or
you've got his Gordon
go.
As a striker, and he's not a striker at all. I don't care who says it, he's not.
No.
So we'd be weakened massively there. For me, when you look at it, Wilson, I've said for ages, Wilson's fine if we have him as second or third choice striker.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't obviously rely on him for minutes.
No.
But you can rely on him for goals. So that's why I'll keep him as a squad player.
100%. Yeah,
and especially at his age now, I just think if you sell Wilson for 10, 15, 20 million again, like Premier League proven and stuff, who are you going to get really? I'm in favour of selling, to be honest, and getting that younger mould in. I don't think we'll do that in this window. So that's why I would keep him. And then with Miggy, 20-30 million pounds for him.
It's ridiculous, to be honest.
I'd say that all day long. Yeah, all day long.
What did we spend? It was January 2019. 24 million. Yeah, like he's nearly 30 this year.
I'd take a loss on that. I'd take 20 million.
20 million is fine, but if you can get 30, like, so absolutely
like 22,
rip the
hand
off. I think 20 million for Almiron's absolutely fair square.
I think so. So if a bid did come in for Miggy, It'd be interesting. I think the club would be all over that if a big, good bid did come in. And I'm not being funny. Almiron, go to Saudi, get a big paycheck. He's got to be laughing at that. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think Miggy should also be aware that we will hopefully be signing a right winger in the summer. So his days for starting for Newcastle are numbered, you would have thought.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he's got to look at it like that as well. So
one thing I would say, that I don't know if I'm right in saying this. I'm pretty sure that I am, but from if anyone who isn't a Newcastle fans out there and slagging Newcastle off us, dealing with the Saudis, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm pretty sure that one of PIF owns four major clubs in the Saudi league, but yeah. Al-Shabaab aren't one of them.
Al-Shabaab aren't one of them.
So there's absolutely no connection there. Just because we're owned by Saudis and we're selling to Saudis, what does it matter?
Lazy journalism.
Yeah, it really is. Like, if you've got an American owner and you sell something to the MLS, like, is that the same thing?
Well, had there. Well, Liverpool sold Fabinho and Henderson to Saudi Arabia for absolutely loads of money.
City sold...
Chelsea sold the first 11, Nelly. Koulibaly and all, yeah.
Chelsea sold Mahrez and Laporte.
Now it's said about that.
No, it, not at all.
We got the tightest deal of all with Maxi.
Aye, and
we're getting 20 million for him. We got robbed there, really, considering the market and that. So
I was hoping for about 50 for Maxi.
And again, the Premier League, that rule didn't get approved, where you can't sell the clubs that you're owned by, all that Saudi swap thing. So it's absolutely fine and in the rules. And
it really is. It's Al-Shabaab aren't owned by PAIF, so it means it's absolutely not relevant in the slightest.
No, it's not, no.
Doesn't matter.
Joe Luton's saying there it's not correct. It is correct. PIF own four clubs in Saudi Pro League. They don't own Al-Shabaab. Have a Google, Jonathan. Anyways, let us know in the chat as well. What would you do with Almiron? I would sell straight away. Let's get on to Callum Wilson before we talk about potential ins this window. Wilson has obviously been subject of interest from Atletico Madrid. They made a loan offer. We turned that down because why the hell would we loan him?
Yeah, loan him that. Knee benefit. Any sense at all.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
Talks that they are going to go for Moise Keane instead, ex-Everton striker who's currently at Juventus, because Atletico are like us with FFP, they can't spend this January. So that led to AC Milan being linked with Wilson. I seen him at the San Siro a couple months ago, fancied him. I'm not sure if he even played in that game, actually. But
probably not.
They know of him and they want him. So he's linked with them. Apparently they could be tempted to pull together a permanent package. Don't know what the fee would be, but... Wilson is the toughest one of the three for me to potentially sell because, as I said before, in terms of replacing him, we are laying up a bid for maybe Benjamin Sesko in the summer. He's got a £42 million release clause. That's not active until the summer, so we're going to wait on that. Mm-hmm. If we sold Wilson, I don't think we would be able to really get anyone with just over a week to go, really, to be on how much you'd spend.
Yeah, we'd probably get a loan for Ekitike.
Benzema.
Oh, the meltdown eruptions, Julian, and we fuming.
Meltdown for people if we end up getting Benzema. Anybody? I thought we were going to really utilize this Saudi market.
Yeah, I know.
Nitro suit.
Again, for the last two summers, I've really wanted another striker because I believe, like, even if you play with a formation with one striker, one number nine, like we do. I think you need three strikers minimum.
Minimum. Like, especially when the Champions League.
If you're going to like change your formation a little bit and play with two strikers, then we've literally got both strikers in the entire squad on the field at one time and no one on the bench.
Yeah.
Like, how many times this year have we had to have like Ben Parkinson or someone on the bench? Like, I believe we need three strikers and I wouldn't sell Wilson, especially not loan him. That's just ridiculous. But I wouldn't sell him because, like I say, we're going to just going to be down to Isaac.
Yeah.
And then what's the point in that?
Because he gets injured.
Then we'd need to replace him by the end of the window, even if it's just a loan, if it's Ekitike or Nketiah, something like that. Like, we're just back to square one, but still with two strikers. and Wilson's a proven Premier League goal scorer. He puts the ball in the back of the net. So why would we do that?
Nah.
It makes no sense at all.
I think out of the three, from me and from the club, I think that would be the least likely we would want to sell. I think they could definitely see some light in selling Trippier because of his age and getting money. They would definitely sell Almiron for that money. And then for Wilson, like we said, I just think they would think we can't afford to lose him in January.
Yeah,
no way. I know he's injury prone. I know he's also 30 plus. It would take a big offer, I think, to sell Wilson. It would take.
But again, he's another one offer that doesn't necessarily have age on his side. He's, I think, 31 now. But at the same time,
just some breaking news here from Newcastle United. Not transfer window business, unfortunately. It is to confirm that Joe Linton has successfully undergone surgery on a thigh injury sustained earlier this month. The midfielder will now commence a period of rehabilitation overseen by the club's medical team and is expected to return to action. And that's the end of that. I've got that, man. And that's as far, and that's as far as the Apple Watch will school. May 2024. So Julian is so out for the season.
Practically out for the season, yeah.
We wish you a speedy recovery, Julian.
So sound! So now we need another centre mid, right? So sell everyone!
Isn't that, yeah, get rid of them. Get rid of them.
Take back everything I've just said. Sell them out.
Isn't that more fucking... Oh, my God, honestly. That just shows you how we need reinforcements this month with Julian and officially ruled out for the rest of the season until May 2024 after going under the knife.
Great.
So that shows you. That shows you. I tell you what.
Well, it is. That's just the Newcastle squad all over. That's why we need depth. That's why we need so many people in so many positions. And two strikers is not enough. Like, he's young enough, but Isaac's been a little bit injury prone. He's struggled to stay fit for long periods of time. Wilson's built like a Pringle. And so has everyone else. Like, the injuries we've had this season's been quite embarrassing. Like, we've had to rely on, I know he's being good, but like Miley, 17 years old, Ben Parkinson, Alex Murphy, just to fill up a spot on the bench. Like, sometimes we'll have 33 goalkeepers on the bench. Like, our squad is not good or deep enough in the slightest. So, yeah, we need bodies through the door. Like, with Joe Linton out, we're going to need someone. Mm. Like, I don't, like, thankfully, I think Willock's soon to be back. Anderson's still going to be a few weeks away.
Yeah, we're getting injury news in a bit, but those are on the horizon.
Yeah.
But when you look at it now, your lineup prediction, easy to pick in the midfield, isn't it? We've only got three fit midfielders.
That's been all season.
Three fit midfielders. Been a piece of piss. So Fulham at Saturday, which again we'll talk about soon, you can only pick Eddie Howe, Maley, Bruno and Longstaff. That's all you can choose from. We called Joe White from Crewe Alexandra.
Have we? Ah, then too.
Yeah, so, you know what I mean? What we'll do now is we'll dive straight into the transfer ins and the potential signings. And what I was about to say is I cannot believe we've missed out on this one, and that is Calvin Phillips. We've been linked with him all window for so long, and he's apparently on the verge of joining West Ham.
Cushy.
So there's a one which just doesn't make sense to me at all. When we are desperate for a midfielder, and you've got an England international there who is available on loan. It hasn't mentioned anything in the Sky Sports article, by the way. If you've heard anything, let me know. Regarding if they did pay that 5 to 7 million loan fee, West Ham. It didn't say the one I saw. But if they didn't, either way, for us not to get him, where I think it's a brilliant short-term fix for Joe Linton's injury, bring him in, Premier League experience. Like, I know he hasn't actually started a Premier League match this season.
Yeah.
He might take a couple of weeks to get up to speed, but to bring in Phillips, and I think under Eddie Howe, in that midfield, I think he would have been perfect. And it just makes so much sense to do that. But it's only way to West Ham.
Yeah, and it is a shame. But I think it depends. Like, I think Newcastle's been smart, like, since the takeover, of not having their eyes pulled out.
Yeah.
If the 7 million rumour is true, that is a joke. And I completely back them from pulling out for that. I think 7 million for a 12-month loan deal is a bit of a joke. Let alone a six-month loan deal. Absolutely no chance in hell should anybody pay that.
No.
And if West Ham have them, they're fools.
Like, fools, damn
absolute
fools.
Absolute joke. But yeah, it is disappointing. I don't even think we could have signed him for much. Like, I think City probably would have took a loss on him. I know they spent quite a lot of money on him.
They have actually got not an obligation to buy, but they have a chance to buy him in the summer as well. So they're not forced to buy him, but there is a clause in there that they can activate if they want to make the signing permanent, because Pep doesn't fancy him one bit.
Yeah, but it depends on that value and all. Like, I don't know, if Pep doesn't fancy him and he's quite happy to let him go out on loan for 6 months and then sell him in the summer, then why didn't we just try and buy him? Like, depending on the fee, of course. Like, fuck a loan. Again, it comes down to FFP and we had to sell somebody, but if we sold some, I suppose that's what we're waiting on. We're waiting to sell somebody, but we don't want to sell anybody.
Waiting until the summer, and we can't do that until the
and
summer.
And that's a problem with the squad and the club. We can't sell anybody of any decent value without upsetting people. Because the people who you want to get rid of, there's no value.
No.
Like Manquillo, gone for nout.
Free.
The other people, Richie, Dummett, Gillespie, Karius, they're not worth nout. You're not going to get anything.
Hayden,
like, it's not going to swing.
Hendrick,
FFP.
Fraser.
I forgot about them.
They're
out
on loan. Well, Hayden's back now.
Is he?
Hayden's back. But he's meant to be out of Preston and a couple of the championship teams.
Yeah, I forget who's even in the bloody team in the wasn't
he? 2019 all over again. Yeah,
really?
These players are talking about.
He is. Like, Jeff Hendrick and Isaac Hayden. They didn't leave like 6 years ago. Oh, no. Oh, no, that's still here. like the fucking woodwork. We're gonna have to sell somebody substantial who we don't want to, like Maxi. With a lot of people, he wasn't everybody's cup of tea. Not a lot of people liked him, but I think for the most part, you didn't want to see him leave, even as a squad player. You liked him. He loved the club. He was passionate about it. Like, fans loved him. He loved us. Mm. We didn't want to let him go, but we had to, and that's just the nature of the game. So yeah, as much as I'm saying that we should have put a permanent bid in for Phillips, we couldn't. That's why we need to sell a Trippier or Almiron. Someone needs to go so we can get somebody in. Yeah. Right now, with 9 days left of the window, we haven't signed anybody because we can't. Our hands are tied. Like, it's just going to have to be a loan. And if people are charging $7 million for a six-month loan deal, fuck them. Look elsewhere. Like, that's a joke. Like, see, we're not going to get our eyes pulled out.
No, we're not. Like you say, though, I mean, Phillips, people forget how good he was at Leeds, I think, because it's been so long since we've seen him regularly play.
He was phenomenal for England for the 2021 Euros.
Player of the year for England and everything. Just a quick one here from Paddy, who sent the super chat in. Thanks for that one, Paddy. Would you keep Miggy, Trips and Wilson and then spend 50 to 75 this January, but take a 10-point deduction next season? Worth it or not? Probably not worth it at this point now because we're quite far away, aren't we? Even if we spent that much, I'm not sure it would be enough to even break in the top four now. What, we're 11 points at least off?
Yeah. So I think we've already lost more than double the amount of games that we lost last year.
So I think it's probably too far gone now to be taking hits on FFP. I think honestly in the summer, and Eels has mentioned it, you know, it could be a transformational summer, is what he said this upcoming June, July, August window could be a big one for us because you can have the seller money then available, you can have the Champions League money then available, and obviously the books will be a bit more balanced and we'll be able to get rid of more players in the summer. So
Adidas as well.
For me, I think this window was about just, and we've heard all along about loans and stuff, I think what we should have tried to do was capitalise on that loan market in Saudi. I said bring in Mitrovic on loan. Perfect. Yeah. Huh? Bring in Ruben Neves. Get these players that could really sort us out for the next few months. You know, we're kind of same players, and that's what we should be doing.
You can also see that I think in the future, maybe that is something that we can go down. And I don't know why we're not doing it this year, but it's just like China all over again. Like, people aren't happy in Saudi. They've been sold a dream, all this money. Like, you're going to get filthy rich. But people aren't happy. Like, Jordan Henderson's already left already. And I think a couple of other people aren't happy, like Benzema. Who was their coach? It was Nuno Espirito Santo was Benzema's coach. He's already left. Like, a couple of others. I think that Jota that went from Celtic, he's not happy. Like, because it's shit standard. You knew what you were signing up for.
The playing in front of crowds of about 400 people, man.
You went for money. And the football shit. And you're not happy because you want to play better football. So loads of players aren't happy. Probably in the summer or at the end of the Saudi season, whenever that is, because I think they play at a different time, people will be demanding a leave. They'll want release from their contracts or sold. Mm. And that's where Newcastle should be in a prime position to swoosh because of the FFP connection. But whether we can pull that off this year in January, I don't know. But I don't know. It's just a difficult one to suss out. And they say they tried to get that Premier League rule that got pushed back because other people would fail from it as well. Like Chelsea's would probably try and get Benzema on loan. And then if they said, no, Newcastle can't do that, and they're like, well, you don't know, you can't do that either. Then that's what that means.
Like, well, I Benzema's been linked to Chelsea, I'm minding any, but oh, the outrage of this and him, that's absolutely fine. I see people saying as well, you know, it looks like West Ham are stealing our scouts and stuff because obviously West Ham signed Paqueta.
Yeah,
kudos.
Bowen
as well. Bowen. I would love Jarrod Bowen. He'd be perfect for us right now.
Yeah,
but West Ham making some good moves.
Yeah,
some good signs on Amazi, and they are above us in the table as it stands. So it's another team around us who are hard to compete against.
Yeah,
let's have a look then. Who else has been linked massively in the past day, even just today? Really, is Morgan Gibbs-White, and that leads back to replacing Miggy Almiron. So if Almiron was to head off to Saudi, we're talking about replacing him with Forrest's Gibbs-White, 24 years old, England under 23 international. Obviously, him and Anthony Gordon played well together in the competition last summer.
Yep.
And he's been in fine form for Forrest, you know, against us. At St. James Park, he was man of the match for me. He was unbelievable. Wood scored the hat-trick, but he made everything tick. He was holding the key to all the players, and he is a quality player. Yeah, I would love Gibbs-White.
Me too. I've didn't know how good he was. Like, I think when Forest signed him, and that's probably why they're going to get a points deduction now. Like, when they signed him for, like, it was like 40 million or something, wasn't he? Like, he was just kind of bursting on the scene at Wolves, and like, for Wolves, he was looking good, but I didn't think he looked great.
That was
great.
A mad saying that. People were like, wow, that's a lot of money, isn't
it? I thought that. I thought they must be absolutely mad. Like, Wolves must have been rubbing their hands. Like, that's an absolute ridiculous signing, and Forest were absolute mugs to pay it. But looks like it's paid off, to be fair. Like, he's an absolutely top talent, still young, really, really good. But again, it comes down to what would Forest sell him for? Because they're not going to sell him cheap. Like, we can't just go in for like 40 million and be like, all right, get with us. Like, they'll want to make profit off of him because they'll still look at him as their future. Mm-hmm. Like, he's probably their key player, as you said. Like, he ran that show, even though Wood stole the highlights. Gibbs White was class. So what is it going to take to sign him? I think it's going to be too much.
Too much money,
maybe. Yeah.
England.
I don't think we'll get him at all.
English, and I think that
the amount of players would have to sell to recuperate the FFP money to buy him.
Aye.
Like, we have to sell everyone.
The only thing that we have in our favour is the predicament that Forest find themselves in with the FFP problems,
yeah.
Which we're trying to avoid without buying players.
I mean, they got themselves
players.
Into that from buying Gibbs, right? But,
exactly. Yeah. So it's a bit like when Everton had to sell us Gordon. Do you know what I mean? They didn't want to lose Gordon, but they had to take the hit. So that could lean in our favour. I think, obviously, he would love the move up here,
mm-hmm.
but I think that one's going to be a really hard one to do. Like,
yeah, not this January.
Nah.
Not a hope. And Forest, where are Forest in the league? They're not doing that well. They're sort of like still like bottom half, aren't they?
Aye.
And if they get a points deduction, which is looking likely, they're going to end up in a relegation scrap.
Yeah.
And they're not going to want to sell their best players, like, no matter how much they're going to get for them. And I know it's from buying the likes of Gibbs White that's got them in this problem in the first place. But it's going to cost them a lot more if they get relegated. So it's not worth it at all for them. Like, they'll hold him for ransom for, I'd say, double what they paid, 80 million.
I think they would want silly money for him, which leads one to someone else who I think would want silly money, and that is Silly Solanke.
Silly Solanke?
Big Dom, Dick and Dom in the Bungalow. He was obviously linked to potentially replace Wilson. We talked about him maybe leaving earlier. So anyhow, was linked to Solanke a week or two ago now. Obviously, he signed up for Bournemouth. He even mentioned his press conference. He said he was a huge fan of him, but it's something we couldn't do because of the price tag.
Yeah.
And again, that probably says that this January, maybe one eye on the summer, or would that change if we did sell Wilson? But Solanke, what's your thoughts on him? Because he's having a great season at the minute, third top goal scorer in the Prem. But could it be a Miggy special? Because he's never really hit these numbers before.
I don't know. I think he's not a Miggy. But I just think he's too expensive. Whatever Bournemouth would want for him, I think it's a lot. Like, is it
at least 50, 60.
Yeah, I think it's just British tax. Like, English players going from Premier League to Premier League, like, we spend more money than is really necessary, like, on players that probably aren't worth it. But you're right, like, knowing that information, that does sound realistic.
Mm.
And yeah, like, he is having the best season of his career. He was bigged up, like, they loved him at Liverpool and they loved him at Chelsea when he was younger. Like, he was tipped to be, like, one of the best British strikers, like, upcoming.
Mm.
And that's why everyone wanted him. And that's, he kind of disappointed when he went to Bournemouth. Like, I didn't really get that. I think Eddie Howe done well to sign him for Bournemouth when I think he was linked with, like, Man United and, like, everyone else. Like, he was tipped to be at one of, like, the top four, top six teams.
Yeah.
Didn't really work out for him. Didn't score many goals. I think it was his first year he was there when they got relegated. Like, he was a bit shit in his first year at Bournemouth in the Prem. But yeah, he's still quite young though, isn't he? Like, he was meant to be a top prospect a few years ago. But I think he's of a decent age, and I think he is on the upcline. What is he?
26, I was right, yeah.
26, and that's older than I expected him to be fair, but
Prime's ahead of him, though,
but
maybe.
But that comes with experience. Like, 26 years old, it's not a bad age. Like, you want someone a little bit younger to develop. But if he's at the peak of his game now, I mean, he's playing well in a pretty shitty team. Like, Bournemouth aren't great.
He's having a good season, though.
But he's been banging the goals in. He's been, like, the front point of Bournemouth.
Mm.
So, I don't know. Yeah, like, would I take him to either replace Wilson in the squad, or maybe just kind of up him, like, knock Wilson down like a third choice striker and have him second. He's not better than Isaac. So are we really going to pay what Bournemouth want to have a backup striker?
True.
Absolutely not.
True.
Absolutely not. So
I'm not too keen on Solanke, to be honest with you. Like,
I like him and I would have him in the squad, but for what we would pay for him, nah, not at all.
Nah, I just think we could look elsewhere. I'd rather look abroad. Me, like, I'd rather look at a Patrick Schick or a Sesko or something else.
Someone who's either going to be cheap or a youngster who can develop. Is it Gibbs White at 26? He's probably in his peak. Maybe he's got a few more years to slightly develop, but you're not going to get much better out of it. Like this season is probably his best years. I can't see him having many more better years than this wherever he goes. So yeah, I'd rather go with like someone like Sheik, who's probably going to be a bit cheaper, or a potential kid, like an 18 to 21 year old, someone who can develop and like go up that way. So
that's why it'd be worth maybe keeping a Wilson around to learn off him.
Exactly.
Around the box.
We need three strikers. Yeah. If we sell Wilson,
who are you going to get for
that? Yeah, we need two more. Whereas if we keep Wilson, we need one more.
Mm.
That's the way I look at it. It's like three strikers is what you need, regardless of formation. Two strikers isn't enough.
And I see he's asking in the comments there as well, in the live chat, asking about Edison. He has been hugely linked over the last few days. Not Man City's keeper. He is the midfielder from Atlanta. Serie A, very similar to Joe Linton, apparently. Do you know what I mean? So,
Sign him,
man. If you need anything similar to Joe Linton, get him in.
No, we need him.
Joe Linton, Edison. Both the same. So Edison's been high link. Newcastle have sent scouts out there. There was scouts from the club watching Edison play in the Serie A last weekend. So it's obviously someone we are monitoring.
Yeah.
You'd guess that would be more so the summer as well, with a fee of around 35 to 40 million rumour to get him in. Seen much of him? Heard much of him?
I haven't really, no. I've heard of him, but yeah, I can't really say that I've seen much of him. I don't know his game. I don't know how old he is or really what his stats have been like with Atlanta, but I've heard good things, and if he is like Joe Linton, then absolutely. I think it's worth getting in, and maybe it's not just because Joe Linton's out for the season. I mean, that would be extra sexy.
It would be very sexy.
But we do miss a player like Joe Linton. Like, when he was out injured, I just felt like our midfield was just a little bit soft. Like, the lads can get stuck in. Like Bruno, Longstaff, Miley, they don't shy away from a challenge, but they're not Joey. I think some of them games that we missed Joey in, we really, really did miss him, because Joey just likes to get proper stuck in. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't just like to get stuck in. Like, he's a fucking savage in the midfield. He absolutely batters himself around.
Warrior.
Absolute battering ram. Makes players uncomfortable. Gives them a bit jipping out once he knocks them to the floor, shouts them in the face. Like, players get scared of people like
him. People didn't want to be playing Joey.
You see him
in the tongue, you think,
like, if you come up against, like, Miley, 17-year-old skinny kid, they're going to be like, I'm fucking easy there. Yeah. But if you come against Joey, one tackle, Joey comes and absolutely clatters you in the first 2 minutes. You're like, can't wait till 14.
It's a long day at the office. Painful day at the office.
So, yeah, but especially now that Joey's out for the rest of the season, I think we could really do with a player like him. So, yeah, I'd love him. But even, like, as another squad player who isn't afraid to get stuck in, likes a good old hard challenge, then, yeah, I think we need somebody like that.
I do as well. And I tell you what, like I said, 8-9 days left of the window. With Jordan now officially confirmed they've gone on a surgery today and be out until May, we've got to sign a midfielder, man. And Phillips has obviously been the one that's been linked. He's went on loan to West Ham, it looks like. So we've got to be getting someone in for this last week or so. It's a must, man.
I feel really embarrassed.
Can't carry on with three midfielders.
Yeah, I'd feel really, really embarrassed if we did kind of come to the close of the transfer window and nobody came.
Ashley sent us that, like, make Ashley 2.0.
It really is.
Like, January goes by and you don't do a single thing.
Yeah. We've seen from the documentary that came out on Amazon how hard they were going to get Anthony Gordon.
Oh,
we gave absolutely no coverage to Harrison Ashby, but he was another late January signing. But they grafted, they negotiated, they put the effort in to get the man who they wanted, they targeted Gordon long before, and it was a hard negotiation, but they went and got him. So I feel like that's got to be happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
They've got to have two or three targets that they're actively pursuing, like, right now. I'd like to think that Amanda Staveley's on her phone, shouting at someone, fucking got absolute crackers, trying to negotiate a deal.
Yeah.
Whoever that is, whatever it is, whatever the fee, whether it's a loan or whatever, we need to get someone in, man. The squad is not deep enough. As we've mentioned, Joey's now looking to be out for the season. If Trippier goes, that's potentially likely, Wilson Almiron, we need more than one signing. One signing is not good enough.
No.
Like, so yeah, I've come the end of the transfer window, I'll highly be embarrassed if I don't sign anybody.
We'll see. Maybe we'll jump on and do a live on for deadline day or something, and we'll hopefully be talking about at least one bloody signing. But honestly, there's that many twists and turns in every single saga that's going on at the minute, especially with Trippier. Mm-hmm. Almiron stuff comes out of the blue, so it's going to be a busy week in terms of transfers.
Hopefully.
Let's move on. Well, rumours at least. Let's move on to who could potentially be coming back then. Injuries, we're talking. At the minute, there is only three fit midfielders for Fulham in the Cup this weekend. Great. Some positive news in a way, I guess, was that Joe Willock is a couple of weeks away, 2-3 weeks away. Harvey Barnes could be back before him, so Harvey Barnes should be back in the next fortnight. Mm-hmm. Callum Wilson is a doubt for Fulham. Don't think he'll play. Trained away from the squad yesterday. But there is hope he could be back for the Tuesday night, the following Tuesday against Villa. So yeah. Let's not forget, you know, we've waited 2 weeks for a game. But there's two in the space of a few days, Saturday night and then Tuesday night. Well, that scuppers our plans for next Tuesday's podcast, actually, live at 7 when there's a game just after it. We'll see what works on that. Jacob Murphy is nearing a return. No date on him, but hopefully he'll be back in the next, I would probably guess, month or 6 weeks or something like that, maybe 4 to 8 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Anderson, Ellie Anderson, obviously he featured a bad back injury. The scan provided good news, but he's still going to be a good 5-6 weeks before he's back. So, Willock, especially with this midfield disaster that we've got going on, we need him back ASAP, don't we?
Yeah. What's his time frame? 2 to 3 weeks?
2 to 3 weeks,
yeah. So, obviously not going to be back before the end of January.
No,
So, we're going to have to put up with three strikers without Joe Linton, without Tonali, Anderson. Same old shit, really. Three strikers, we've been pretty much putting up with that for the last few months.
Midfielders.
Yeah. Midfielders.
We've got three strikers.
It's on my mind, man. But yeah, getting Willock back will be like a new signing because even like we missed him for the first few weeks of the season and he came back for a couple of weeks then picked up his injury again, didn't he? So, yeah, I think it'll be class because he's really underrated and I think he gets forgotten about because he's been out for so long. Yeah, getting him back, I think, will be massive. I think he'll be a huge player for upcoming. If he can stay fit, fingers crossed.
Which, again,
that's the target.
He's like a Wilson in the sense where he can never stay fit for a season. He can never stay fit for a prolonged period of time. Well, buzzing to have him back in like October when he'd been missing for a while. He came back, Old Trafford, scored a screamer, played nearly two full games, was amazing. And then, again, he's been out for another few months. So it's like nightmare for him. And a bigger nightmare for Harvey Barnes. Do you know what I mean? He went off to Sheffield United in September with a bad toe and he's been out for nearly a year. Some bad toe, you
know
that, like?
I know. Jesus. I didn't know what the crack of that was. So, yeah, it just seemed like such like a minor
freak injury. They called it. Never seen anything like it, Eddie Howe said. So I thought Barnes was a good signing. I'm really looking forward to seeing him return.
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Let's say we've been going on nearly 53 minutes, closing on that hour mark. So do get some questions in soon. We're going to quickly touch on Fulham on Saturday. So we have been craving some football without it last weekend. The FA Cup is back.
Is that intentional?
No, I didn't even hear what I said.
Craving.
Oh, cottage. Yeah, chicken cottage. I like it. That wasn't intentional. Should have said it was. Would have sounded smart.
Oh, I probably meant that.
I really meant that pun there. Like, good analogy. So, craving cottage. We're craving it. I tell you what I'm craving. A cup run. And not the Carabao. Not the energy drink cup. The official best cup in history, traditional thing, FA Cup, the oldest one in the world. Listen, Fulham away on a Saturday night in the fourth round. It's 7 p.m. now, got moved. Scott had lots of people's plans to go, including myself. So now it's on ITV4 or something.
one of them.
One of the ITVs, ITV27 or something, plus 7. It is going to be on there. But I tell you what, it isn't going to be that easy for me. Honestly, I don't think this is going to be an easy draw. I was pleased. I did the FA Cup live draw when it happened. I was pleased with that draw, considering, you know, City got Tottenham and you avoided some of the, you know, the Liverpools of this world and stuff. So we'll take it. And if you can't beat them, I think you deserve to go out. You know, if you can't beat Fulham, you're not going to go far in a cup, put it that way.
Yeah, 100%.
But again, I don't think it'll be an easy game. I think Fulham are a very good side this season. I like the manager, Silva. Mm. They've got some dangerous players and they seem to be doing well this year. Listen, they're in a semi-final of the Carabao Cup tomorrow night.
Yeah,
they've got Liverpool tomorrow night, so that should work in our favour. Them playing just a 3 days before this game should help. You'd think they'd go far. So Fulham on Saturday, Keg, how do you see it playing out?
I mean, it's tough just simply because our form has been poor. The only kind of comfort that I can see in it, that out of the last 10 games, I think if we've lost 8 of them, but the only 2 that we've won, Sunderland in the Cup and Fulham in the league. So they're beatable. Like, they're not that good. They're a decent team. But like I said, just with our form, it hasn't been great. More injuries, more just news about people not coming back. Like, it's a concern. Like, I think our form really has been shocking recently. So, I really don't know how I see it playing out. So, it's going to be a tough game. It's the FA Cup. Anything can happen. Non-league can beat Premier League. Like, there's absolutely no guarantees in the FA Cup. I'm sure they'll want it. They'll want to go on a good cup run themselves. So, and being away, their ground as well, where away form this season's been fucking stinking.
Awful.
I don't know. I really don't know how is it playing out. I think it's a really, really tough one to call.
I think it's going to be a bit scrappy where we nick it, to be honest. I think we've had it, for the first time in a very long time, we've actually had a rest.
Yeah.
Players have been on holiday, and Anthony Gordon's been out there shooting hoops in New York, playing chess in the middle of Times Square.
Yeah.
Other players have been chilling out on the beach and that, you know what I mean? So, for me, we should be fresher. Like I said, they're going to be playing on Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lot of people are saying all of us now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For this, because if we lose this, we're 10th in the league. We're not going to get 4th or 5th now. For me, I think we could still have a good finish the season if the injured players do come back.
Yeah.
We could still finish maybe 7th, 6th at a big push, but 7th Conference League, I think, will be good.
Mm-hmm.
But FA Cup run, listen, Spurs have got City, another big team is going out there. Arsenal have been knocked out by Liverpool. Man U have got Newport, so that's Newport getting through. You know what I mean? There's big teams that have gone out. There's big teams that are going out. So it's a big chance for Newcastle to really stage a good cup run. And remember, the semi-finals are at Wembley, which I disagree with, because I think that kills it a little bit.
Never like
bad that. Crack for you, that?
Never, ever, ever like that. It's been one of my pet peeves in football fucking since Wembley was erected. And it's not an erection that I've enjoyed. But I really, really, really don't like that. Like,
no,
Wembley, Wembley semi-finals have absolutely riled me up for years. I wish you hadn't mentioned it.
I take it. You're not going to have a good sleep tonight now. That's you up, Barney. We think we're tossing and turning at Wembley semi-finals. You'd be glad we're getting knocked out of the phone.
I know.
I'm against it because I think it does ruin that whole magic of the FA Cup. Not the FA Cup. The final day out, like I experienced for the Carabao Cup.
That's the thing, yeah.
You go there. Going to Wembley for a semi-final.
The old Wembley was a bit the attraction of, like, that was it. Like, going to Wembley was your day out. Like, oh, we've got to Wembley.
Yeah, exactly.
But especially when Tottenham's ground was being built. And they were, 2 seasons they played their home games at Wembley.
Aye.
Like, if you're a Premier League team and you got the FA Cup semi-final, think, well, I already played it. I fought them this year. We played Tottenham away. We're playing the semi-final. Like, it's just not special anymore. It's just absolutely pointless. Like, that's why I does my head in. I can't stand it.
Nah, I'm not huge on it, but I tell you what, I will be this year. Because hopefully, Newcastle get there, I get Box Pop Wembley again. I love the Box Pop Wembley. Brilliant fans when that was. So I'm praying we'll get the semi-final. And then obviously the final again.
Hell yeah.
But it's a big chance Newcastle will do well and push on in a cup. Because yes, we've had that Carabao Cup run last year. But I cannot remember the last time we did well in the FA Cup. I'm thinking like 2005, Cardiff Stadium.
Yeah,
Millennium Stadium got pumped off Man U.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been years since we've actually had a good FA Cup run. If you do get a win against Fulham and you're in the 5th round and you get a decent enough draw there, before you know you're
quarters.
In the quarters,
yeah.
And then it gets serious, you know? You're one game away from Wembley.
I wish it wasn't, but it doesn't matter. Semi-final is a semi-final.
So for me, I'm going to see we beat Fulham on Saturday night. I think it's going to be really tricky and scrappy. We should just about have enough with Fulham playing midweek.
Yeah.
Us having a chance to really get on the training pitch, as Eddie Howe has said, has ruined our season not having that week-long sessions because of all the games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 Newcastle win on that one.
Yeah, I'll go with a win. I'm always optimistic. But yeah, I can only see a 1-goal victory in it. So yeah, 1-0, 2-1, something like that. Yeah, close and scrappy.
Close and scrappy. Right then, people, we are closing on the end of the podcast, nearly an hour in. So I put
final
a story
segment
up on Instagram last night for a little Q&A to get people's questions in on there to round off the podcast. That's what we'll do every week on the Magpie Challenge podcast. We'll give it to you lot to ask questions. So get them in now in the chat. And we'll answer the best ones. A few on Instagram here. Let's just go back to the beginning. There wasn't that many, actually. I deleted a lot of shit ones, to be fair. Just so it wouldn't show up on my phone. Waste of time. I just wanted to keep this one in though, mate, to give you your flowers, because Ryan Simpson said, why do you do all the work and Keg still gets the credit for being part of TMC? I think he might have thought that you weren't going to be on this podcast, even though you're in the thumbnail.
Yeah.
So just to answer Ryan's questions, that Keg played a vital role in building the channel in the early days with me every week on the podcasts, and put a lot of mails in for those away days.
Cheers, mate.
And cameraman every Saturday when we used to do the fan cams regularly in the rain, in the cold, after getting beat off West Brom, getting beat off Preston and things like that. So that's why he's still part of it. And he's back now.
I'm here now, Ryan.
So it's all good.
What are you thinking of that, Ryan?
Yeah. There's a question that would take far too long about an NUFC lineup, so we'll not do that.
We've done that previously, though, to be fair. Back in the 18-19 days, we've done that.
COVID times.
We might cover it.
That was probably the last podcast.
It probably was, yeah. We'll maybe do it one more time, but yeah.
So what we'll do, a couple more then. I've did a video on the Adidas kits that are leaked for next season, Keg. Mm-hmm. If you've seen them, what do you think of the kit rumours for next year?
You know what it is? I love them, and I get trying to keep like a retro kit and trying to like redo things. But what's always done my head in with these concept kits, like even back before we agreed Adidas, like, when we were still like Puma or whoever it was, like, we'd always have these concept kits, and when we had like Fun 88 and stuff, like, people would always like have these concept kits and always have like Adidas and Brown Ale. Like, you need to let it go.
Let it go, man.
The past's the past. Like, we need to build a new future. So having these kits that look exactly like the one from like 97.
Just buy that one.
Exactly. I mean, it looks mint. Don't get us wrong. Like, it looks mint because I know like it's realistic. So we've got Adidas because it's going to happen. And we've got Stellar on now. So it looks legit and like a real possibility. Whereas when we had Puma and Fun 88 and people were still putting Adidas and Brown Ale and just looked fucking stupid, like, what you doing? But yeah, I like them. I really do. But for them being like identical to older ones, I don't really like this. I want them to just do something new.
Yeah.
Like, let this be our future. Stop hanging on to 95, 96.
Yeah.
Let 24, 25 be the future. Like, do something new, do something fresh for us to hang on to in 20, 30 years' time.
It's true, like, because it's going to be so easy. And Adidas will do it. They will make that 95, 96 kit again.
And I'm not opposed to it.
They will make the Sunset kit again. Do you know what I mean? They'll do all these things because it's just guaranteed
and that's
cash.
Fine, but yeah, like, I just...
Get creative. Like,
yeah,
get exactly, some new ideas.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. They all rushed up. But yeah, aye. Can you get Minter back from loan? Says Chris, no, we can't. We can't get him back from loan. Well, Eddie Howe said they needed clarity on that, but basically he's at AFCON at the minute. They're not going to redone. He's doing well in Eredivisie. They're going to let him see that out. They love him over
Why
there.
Why not? Yeah,
they
he's
love him
class,
over there.
Yeah.
So
just leave him
could get him back in the summer, though, but we're not going to get him back now. Callow751 says, if Almiron is going, how does Anthony Elanga sound as a replacement?
Who said that?
Callow751.
Not great, Callow. Not great.
Not great either, Callow.
I mean,
really. Wasn't good for Man United. He's not good enough for Newcastle United.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's an Ari player, but I feel like that would be like a proper Ashley signing. He was good when he broke through at Man United, then petered off. He's done all right at Fulham, Forest. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like we can do better than that.
Yeah. Are you Eddie Howe out, or will you see until Fulham to make the assumption that we are just tired again, says Ethan Cook. I think we can assume what he is. He's feeling a bit Eddie out there, Ethan, by the sounds of it.
Are you feeling Eddie out there, are you?
Doesn't like him.
Yeah.
Who do you want in then?
I'm still Eddie in, and I think it'll take a lot for me to kind of wean off of that. Like, I think if we're lost to Sunderland, I think I might have been slightly leaning towards the Eddie out kind of thing, because I just feel like the form was horrendous. I know tired was an excuse, but a lot of injuries and a lot of people like fatigued, like too many games, having like the same 11, no subs, whatever. So I was behind that, and I never ever discredited Eddie Howe for that. But just the longer that it went on, and like dropping out of the Champions League, dropping out of the Carabao Cup, shite league form, losing to the likes of Luton, losing to the likes of Forest. I feel like if we lost to Sunderland and not just ducked out of the FA Cup, but lost to Sunderland, big questions would have been asked.
Oh, aye. That would have been awful for everyone.
Yeah, since then, we beat Sunderland quite comfortably, and we're only kind of marginally lost to Man City. So I'm all right. I'm calm. I'm all right.
You're staying calm for now.
Yeah, we need to pick up the form, man. We need to see what the January transfer window brings and see what happens in February. If the form continues, right through the end of February, because January, to be fair, league-wise, is a tough schedule.
Yeah.
But February on paper should be a piece of piss.
I was just going to get that up, yeah.
It's teams that we've already lost to. It's your Lutons, it's your Forests. And we've got Everton again.
Just getting the fixtures up now. Obviously, we kick off February on the 3rd at home to Luton Town. So that's got to be 3 points.
We lost to Bournemouth.
We then got Forest away on a Saturday night, 5:30.
Yeah.
Bournemouth at home.
Yeah, lost to them.
And then Arsenal away, which we never, ever, Arsenal ever even horrible, score, so have a shot on target against.
On paper, that should be a piece of piss.
That should be 9 points out of 12.
Absolutely.
I expect to lose to Arsenal away, it's no problem.
If come Arsenal, if we've already lost them three, or even drawn, I don't know, man. I think questions need to be asked.
Yeah, I mean, the pressure will definitely build, because in a couple of weeks' time, by February, we should be seeing Barnes and Willock back.
Yeah.
The reports are let to be true. Uh-huh. So that'll be a massive boost. Hopefully we'll have a new signing by then. Yeah. T-Word might lose as well in the meantime. Who might leave the club. But Luton, 3 points. Forest away should be 3 points as well. No, we lost at home. But we won away there last year. Late penalty by Isaac, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But if we're going to want to go up the league table, should be beating them.
Yeah.
Bournemouth at home, must win. Arsenal away, lose. So... or even get a scrap.
You know, like that's all like we did last year. Yeah, so that's fine.
We could be unbeaten in February, but we should be getting 9 points out of 12. Anything less will be the big alarm bell, and then the pressure could start mounting, because even March is looking good as well, really. Wolves at home, Chelsea away, Palace away. Palace are dead at the minute.
Mm-hmm.
West Ham at home. You know, so again, there's a big chance. A lot of people are like, oh man, if we lose at Fulham on Saturday, the season's over. Potentially, but potentially not as well if you look at the bright side, because we string a few wins together, we go from 10th to 7th. Do you know what I mean? They close the gap, and you start looking at maybe, can we push for 5th, 6th? You know? Mm. So
I've always seen the silver lining in going out of a FA Cup early. As much as it's awful and you want a good cup run, I feel like if you're not going to win it, then sometimes it can just be a distraction, like an unwelcome distraction. So even like when we went out to like Cambridge and whoever went out to...
That was Harry, because we were like, fuck me, we need to see
exactly, when we were in a relegation scrap, like, that was... like, what's going on, yeah? So, yeah, when we lost to Cambridge, we're in a relegation scrap, so it's fine because we've got more important things to deal with. Even last year, we went out to Sheffield Wednesday early, but we were concentrating on top four. So there's always been a silver lining.
Silver linings.
So this year, if we go out early, like, form's been shit and results haven't been going our way recently, so we need to stop playing players, I think, having a less game. Because normally they're on a Saturday as well, so sometimes we've got like a fortnight break, which is mint, trying to get players back fit. So, yeah, like, I don't know where people's realistic aims are of finishing in the league this season. I think top four is probably ruled out, but we can still maybe push for fifth, maybe sixth, and get Europa League. That's fine. But if we go all the way to the semi-final and lose, and league form continues to suffer, then what the fuck was the point?
Exactly. Sorry, is it?
Yeah, so, yeah, I can see a silver lining as much as it's heartbreaking and disappointing. I don't want to go out with an FA Cup early, but there's always a silver lining.
Let us know how you feel as we round off this podcast. We'll do another minute or two. Jordan's asking, please confirm what time the live stream is after the Fulham game. So it'll be just after full time as usual, about 10 minutes after full time. So the game kicks off at 7 on Saturday. We'll probably wrapping up about 9-ish. So maybe 9:10, 9:15 for the live match reaction on Saturday night. Well, this one here is what we will finish off on, asking about the youngster that has signed from City, which we've seen just in the car on the way here. Newcastle have agreed a deal with Manchester City to sign highly rated midfielder Alfie Harrison for an undisclosed fee. The 18-year-old English prospect has excelled for City at academy level, and Newcastle have moved to secure his services. He's going to undergo a medical in the coming days ahead of a long-term contract. He looks like Haaland.
He does,
He looks like Haaland. He's been drawn similarities with him because of his looks. But Harrison, who signed for City age 9, has made 10 appearances in all competition for the club's under 18s this season, scoring 8 goals. So very good record, high prospect, so very good signing, hopefully. But
yeah,
hard to really touch on him at the minute when he's playing
for future that I wouldn't really worry too much about now.
At the minute, without midfield, we'd be on Saturday.
You might be, yeah. You never know. But we've signed loads of these like kids. I think like what Dan Ashworth's been doing, like trying to get the academy level up and running because it was dead under Ashley. So yeah, there's been a bunch of these guys. Oh, Newcastle signed X, Y, and Z that you've never heard of. Some teenager, and yeah, they're just under 23s or whatever. So yeah, I wouldn't worry about that too much. But like I said, with injuries, you never know.
You never know. But we'll see. Hopefully, he has a bright future at the Toon. I'd also say though, if he was that much of a prospect, would City let him go?
Exactly. That's a very, very good
point. I don't think they would.
No, could be the next Foden. If he was, then he wouldn't be going.
Erling Foden, by the looks of it. Let's hope. Cheers, everyone. Thank you very much for tuning in to tonight's podcast. The first episode back on the Magpie Channel podcast, bringing you live shows every week, Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
Maybe not change that message.
But we could do, I suppose, if the game kicks off at 8. It's probably not going to work. We'll be back anyway.
Maybe Wednesday.
Wednesday will be good because we'll review the game, I suppose.
We'll figure it out. We'll confirm.
Keep an eye on our social medias.
But most Tuesdays.
Every Tuesday, unless we're playing. That's the rule, which I thought it wouldn't be since we knocked out Europe. That came to back. But there's our socials running along the bottom of the screen there. All the updates will be on there. I'll mention it in your YouTube video as well. But thank you very much, everyone that's tuned in. We've had a good 400 or 500 people locked in live for over an hour. Still 300 now. Please do subscribe if you haven't already. Give it a like. See you on the next one. And enjoy yourself. Bash.